Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
Jay Connor joins me here again today, and Jay, really appreciate your time. The last time you were on was a couple of years back, so this is kind of a treat because Jay is an expert when it comes to how to make sure you have enough money for your acquisitions and all of the tips and strategies associated with that. So make sure you take advantage of what Jay is offering here by heading over to jayconner.com/book. And you just have to pick up the postage, but Jay will send out his latest book. And I also believe, Jay, you have an upcoming event here in June, and they might even get a ticket or two to attend that event if they pick up your book.
Absolutely, Jack. So along with my book, Where to Get the Money Now, which, by the way, believe it or not, the United States Postal Service is still in business. We actually priority mailed this book out, Where to Get the Money Now, How to Get All the Money You Would Want for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Any Kind of Institutional Money or Any Kind of Hard Money. But yes, this book lays it out, simple to read, step by step, how I raised over $2 million in less than 90 days of funding when I was cut off from the banks all the way back in 2009. And yes, Jack, along with the book that I will mail out to your listeners, it comes with two tickets to my upcoming Private Money Conference that's located right here in Eastern North Carolina. So yeah, all the details about the Private Money Conference will be included with the book.
Well, we won't spend a ton of time on how you managed to find your way into that situation in 2009, because they can go back to that previous episode. It is a fascinating story of what the circumstances there, but I would like to jump right into some tips and strategies associated with how to make sure that people have the capital, because it's been driving me a little crazy, Jay, and you can even echo it or tell me it's a myth. I think that a lot of people we've been sold a bill of goods to a certain extent when it comes to real estate investing, people being told that they can get into real estate with no money.
Well, that's true and that's not true. So let me explain myself. You don't need any money to buy of your own to buy the properties. You can use private money for all the purchase. If there's renovations involved, you can use it for renovations. And we always pick up a big check when we buy. I mean, who wants to get paid to buy a property? So we're able, when you do it the way I do it, we're able to always borrow more money than we need for the purchase and if renovations are needed as well. But what do you need money for? Well, you need money. You need either money or your time for marketing. I mean, the two most popular questions that I get, particularly from new real estate investors, are where do you find the deals and where do you get the money for your deals? Well, I got you covered on getting the money for your deals. But as far as lead sourcing and having and being able to find sellers of properties that are motivated to sell, well, you got to use your time or some of your own money for marketing to get that as well. And, you know, I use all kinds of different methods on getting lead sourcing, but I tell my members all the time, and that is, unless you've got a consistent lead flow of motivated sellers coming in your pipeline of wanting to sell their properties every day and every week, you're in a hobby and you're not in a business. So you got to have that lead flow coming in as well, in addition to having the money available, which I got you covered on that, for the purchasing and renovations.
Would you say that people should be spending just as much time finding the money then, the capital, the buyers, for that matter, as they are for those initial leads?
Well, I'll tell you what drives me crazy, Jack, and I'm taking a risk when I say this, because I hope you and I are in alignment on what I'm getting ready to say. But one thing that drives me crazy, and I know you've heard it, I hear educators out there over all these years. I mean, my wife, Carol Joy, and I, we've been investing in single family houses now all the way since 2003. But I hear some educators saying, oh, just get the deal under contract. The money will show up. And I want to say, where is the money going to show up? Is it just going to like rain out of clouds or something? So I practice and preach, get the money lined up first. There's always going to be deals. There's always going to be deals. And, you know, I'm all about buying creatively when you can. I mean, buy a property subject to the existing note if you can. Buy it with seller financing and all that. But, you know, after reviewing thousands and thousands and thousands of property lead sheets and talking to all these sellers for all these years, my statistics show that only 13% of the sellers that we talk to, now I'm not including any properties in the multiple listing service and auctions and all that. I'm talking about talking directly with owners of properties. After talking to thousands of them, my statistics show that only 13% of those sellers will sell to me creatively, i.e., they don't want all the cash. They'll sell subject to the existing note, et cetera. So what are the other 87% of all those for sale by owners want and require? All the cash. So stop and think about it. How much more confident are you going to be making offers on properties when you know you've got the money lined up to go and you don't have to be dealing with the stress of talking to somebody on the phone and trying to buy creatively and, you know, they want all the cash and you don't have it? So that's my recommendation. And by the way, it doesn't take long to get the money lined up. I have members all the time, readers of my book all the time, get over $500,000 in funding ready to go in less than 30 days. I got a new member that just came in a few weeks ago. Within 4 weeks, already has $1.4 million in private money ready to fund their deals. So that's my recommendation on what you should focus on first, particularly if you're brand new.
Well, we are completely in alignment when it comes to that, Jay. I can't echo that enough.
We would be.
Yeah. I am so tired of people telling others that find the deals and the money will come. And then people are stymied as to what to do next.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I was a guest on another podcast a few weeks ago, and the host and I were having this same topic of conversation about what should you focus on first. And I said to the host, I said, why in the world would an educator or somebody tell somebody to get a deal in the contract and they have no idea how they're going to fund it? He says, I can tell you why, Jay. I said, why is that? He said, because they're selling a course on how to find deals and get deals under contract. They're not going to help you get the money lined up. And I said, well, that makes sense.
Well, I'm going to have that secondary thing too. I've found a number of educators who use this as a funnel where they then have the students not know what to do with the deal. And if the deal is good enough, the educator wants a piece of it.
Well, there you go.
So... But Jay, I'd appreciate it if we could start at the beginning then. If somebody is going to line up the capital to get into the real estate investing, where should they start?
Sure. Well, first of all, and I'm so glad you asked this question, Jack. The first place to start getting more money than you can actually use for your real estate, we got to start with your mindset. That's where we got to start. So what in the world do I mean by that? What kind of mindset do you need to have? Well, you see, here's what's interesting. Ever since I started attracting and raising private money, all the way back to February 2009, did you know I've never asked any of my private lenders for money? In fact, I've never even asked anybody I've never pitched a deal to a private lender. And people ask me all the time, they say, well, Jay, if that's the case, how in the world have you got 47 individuals, 47 private lenders funding your deals? And number one, you never ask for money. And number two, you never pitch a deal. Here's the answer. First of all, I put on my teacher hat. So I've got a teacher hat here. It's called the private money teacher hat. And so you see, this is not about begging, chasing, selling, or persuading anybody, any new potential private lender to be a private lender. It's about educating people that you already got some kind of connection with as to what private money is and how they can get high rates of return safely and securely. And so when I was cut off from the banks all the way back in the first part of 2009, I learned about private money. So the first thing I did is I put my program together, my private lending program opportunity that I was going to share with people in my network, people I go to church with, people I'm in the Rotary Club with, et cetera, that I'm now opening up my business to people that I know and trust. And by referral only, I'm starting to share how they can, you know, stop worrying about the volatility of the stock market and et cetera. So the first thing I did was put my program together as to what I was going to teach about how an individual could be a private lender. And by the way, my exact program that I do teach to new private lenders is in my book that I will ship to you. Just duplicate it. So you need to know, what's your interest rate that you're going to be paying? What's the length of your notes, et cetera? It's very, very simple. And so it was the mindset, I'm not asking, I'm teaching. So in addition to that, people say, well, how do you not pitch a deal and you get it funded? So, you know, Jack, desperation has got a smell to it. And here's what I mean by that. You see, when I'm teaching a new potential private lender, people in my network that I run across, when I'm teaching them about how they can earn high rates of return safely and securely, I never bring up a deal. I never bring up a deal in that initial conversation, because you see, if I do, I'm already sounding desperate without even trying to sound desperate. So after I've taught the program, and how do you teach it? Well, my land's all kinds of ways. You can be visiting with somebody over coffee, or you can do like I've done as well, and I put on private lender luncheons. It takes the same amount of time to teach your private lending program, your opportunity, to 20 people as it does one person. And so after I've taught it to them, and they say, wow, yeah, I like the sound of that. Or let's say they got retirement funds. You know, they can use investment capital, or they can use retirement funds. Well, I'll introduce them to the self-directed IRA company that I recommend, where people can move their retirement funds over and start funding your deals with their retirement funds. And so then I separate the conversation of having a deal for them to fund. So when I have a deal for them to fund and they've already loved the program, they're now sitting by their telephone waiting for you to call them. By the way, we still have handsets and cords here in North Carolina, believe it or not. And so I call them up with what I call the good news phone call. Well, what in the world is the good news phone call? Well, here it is. I call them up and I say, I've got good news for you. I can now put your money to work for you. And then I tell them four things about a deal. I'll tell them the community where the property is located. They could care less about the physical address. I tell them the after repaired value of the property. I tell them the funding required for the deal and the closing date. That's it. So here's how the conversation might go. And so, Jack, let's say you're one of my private lenders, or maybe you're one of my new private lenders. And I'll call you up and we'll have a little chit chat. And I'll say, Jack, I got great news for you. I can now put your money to work. I've got a house over in Newport with an after repaired value of $200,000 under contract, ready to go. Now, the funding required for the deal is $150,000. By the way, I know, Jack, you have got $150,000 because you already told me when I taught you the program initially. And then I'll say, and Jack, closing is next Tuesday, so you'll need to have your funds wired to my real estate attorney's trust account by next Monday. I'll have my real estate attorney email you the wiring instructions. That's the end of the conversation. You see, you notice I didn't ask Jack if he wants to fund the deal. That's the most stupid question in the world I could ask Jack. Of course he wants to fund the deal. He's been sitting by the phone waiting for the good news phone call because I told Jack a couple of weeks ago or a week ago that I would put his money to work for him just as soon as possible, and I'll call him when I've got a deal. So I'm not going to bring to that telephone conversation a deal that doesn't match the criteria of the program that I've already taught to Jack. So again, what do you do first? Get your mindset straight. You see, I hear new real estate investors all the time saying, well, they fear rejection. Well, here's what I say. How can you fear rejection when you're not asking anybody for anything? You're first educating them on how they can get high rates of return safely and securely by you duplicating the program in my book. And then you say, look, I'll give you a good news phone call just as soon as possible as I can put your money to work. And by the way, if you have taught them about retirement, I mean, self-directed IRAs, and they have moved a portion or all of their retirement funds over to a self-directed IRA company, they're sitting on, I mean, they're like, can't wait for the good news phone call because they're not making any money on those retirement funds that they've moved over at your instruction until you put the money to work. So really, you're morally and ethically bound to give them a good news phone call just as soon as possible.
Just to remind everybody, if you are thinking to yourself that we're just touching the tip of the iceberg here, you are right. And you need to take advantage of what Jay was offering earlier by heading over to jayconner.com/book and maybe even consider going to North Carolina on June 12th, 13th, and 14th for this event. Because I know you go through a lot of content there, Jay. One, you in fact, I think you did this virtually once, maybe over COVID.
Yes, and, I
can attest there's a lot of great material and content at this. So jayconner.com/book. If you found some value in what we're talking about so far today, send this to one of your real estate investor friends. And if you're watching this on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, give us a thumbs up and like and share and subscribe. So Jay, again, you're just laying out a ton of great information and content here for everybody to ingest. But I really appreciate the script you kind of gave everybody just a minute ago. But what you're referring to there is back to the mindset. You have to build the confidence and credibility to make sure that this kind of conversation goes down the way you just laid out. What type of, I don't want to say skills or exercises should people try to go through to just get their mindset? You know, I repetition is part of it, but there's got to be some pre-work that has to be done.
Sure. Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the first things that I teach, you know, my new students that are learning about private money is once you got the mindset straight, that you're not chasing. I mean, it's been my experience, Jack, over the years. Anytime I try to chase money, it eludes me big time. But when I'm leading with a servant's heart and I'm actually educating people, ordinary people, as to how they can have something so much safer and more reliable than the volatility of the stock market, then I'm leading with a servant's heart, right? So after getting your mindset straight that you're not, and by the way, the worst time in the world to be looking to raise private money is when you need it for a deal, right? That's why I focus on the money comes first, getting that lined up. There's always going to be deals. But the second piece to that, how do you get the confidence? But you get the confidence by knowing your program, knowing the program that you can just duplicate in my book. Know the interest rate that you're going to be paying. I've been paying 8%, no origination fees, to my private lenders ever since I started in 2009. Regardless of what the market is doing. So, you know, prior to COVID, a 12-month certificate of deposit yield got all the way down to 0.17%. I was paying 8%. Sometimes people ask me, so, well, Jay, you know, right now in today's market, you can get 4.5% or 5%, you know, in a 12-month CD. Don't you pay more interest? No. Remember, it's your program. You see, when I was borrowing money from the banks and from institutional lenders, I had to get on my hands and knees and beg and say, please fund my deal. But in this world of private money, we make the rules. It's your program, right? You're not asking for a mortgage. You're offering a mortgage. Big 180-degree difference. So in today's market, where you can get 4.5% on a CD, I'm still paying 8%. And people say, well, Jay, why are your private lenders still happy with 8%? It's simple. They're happy with 8% because 8% is a whole lot more money than 4.5% or 5%. And plus, I'm not giving them an unsecured note. I mean, I'm not giving them an unsecured note. All the promissory notes are backed by a mortgage or deed of trust, which collateralizes the note, with the property. So these notes are being backed by the real estate that we are purchasing. And, you know, another question that I get, Jack, this sort of ties into what you just asked me. Sometimes new real estate investors will ask me, they'll say, Jay, who in the world is going to loan me money on a real estate deal? And I've never done a deal, or, you know, I'm brand new. Why are they going to loan me money? Well, first of all, as a side note, before I answer that question, if you're brand new, for goodness sakes, don't start out this business by yourself to start with. Right? You need to get a mentor like Jack or somebody, you know, in your local area that knows what they're doing, that can hold your hand and walk you through the process. Don't start out like I did by reading books and think you can figure this thing out on your own. That's a side note. Back to answering the question. Why would somebody loan you money on a deal and you're a new real estate investor? Here's the answer. And this is a writer downer. So you want to write this one down. The quote is, if you don't pay the private lender, the property does. If you don't pay the private lender, the property does. What in the world does that mean? What that means is because you're collateralizing the promissory note with the real estate, if you don't pay the private lender, then they get the property, right? That note is secured by the property. Now, the private lender does not want the property. They don't want to mess with it. But nonetheless, they've got that security to where you're not borrowing unsecured. Another thing, if you've got a mentor like Jack or somebody else, then you can leverage that relationship. If you're new, you can honestly say and tell the truth. Me and my partner, like, if, you know, if you were partnering up with me, you say, me and my business partner, Jay Connor, we've rehabbed over 500 houses. You can leverage the relationship of your business partner, say, if they are a coach with you. So that's a couple of different answers as to how you can get the money, even if you're brand new.
No, this is great, Jay. I can't thank you enough for laying this out. And what I really like when I talk to you, Jay, is that a lot of people that come on, some other educators, they seem to want to hold on to some of their information, and they don't want to share the actual practical and specific tasks to implement today. So I really appreciate how open you are with your information.
Absolutely. And you know, my last name's Connor, and most of us spell it C-O-N-N-O-R, but I'm a little different. So I'm Jay Connor, www.jayconner.com/book for me to ship you the book, Where to Get the Money Now.
And that is definitely going to be a clickable link in the show notes so that if you do have problems spelling that out, you can just click it there. Jay, you know, you mentioned this before around don't chase, and it comes off as desperation. And I've shared this analogy a couple of times, but it is so true, is that it's like when you get a puppy, and sometimes you get them off the leash and they take off in the wrong direction, and you're yelling and you're chasing, and they see it as a big game, and it takes forever to track them down and catch them. What I've learned is that as soon as you start to run in the opposite direction and make a commotion, they'll chase you down.
I love the analogy, but go ahead and flesh that out.
Yeah. Well, that's the situation here. Even when I'm talking to distressed sellers, I'm in a constant state of a situation where I don't want to be in that convincing state of mind. More times than not, it's those deals that I have had to convince that will fall apart.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, because I learned years ago, whenever I feel like I'm starting to sell or I feel like I'm trying to convince, I back away. I back away, because nobody wants to feel like they're being sold.
Right. With all of that being said, I'm just going to remind everybody again, head over to jayconner.com/book. Take advantage of what Jay is talking about here, and maybe even consider going to his live event. We are just touching the tip of the iceberg here, and there's just a lot to uncover. So, Jay, everybody's in line now. You got the money. You got the property. Everything is rolling. What is your exit strategy here? And the last time we talked, you even had three paydays that you were talking about when it comes to a property.
Yes, that's one of the big reasons that I love private money is that I get you get multiple checks, multiple paydays. First of all, you never have to take money to your own money to the closing table. And people ask me, they say, wait a minute, Jay, how can you do real estate with no skin in the game of your own money down? Well, the skin in the game, the way I do it, is the equity that is in the property because you're buying these properties at a discounted price. And so I'm not going to borrow more than 75% of the after repaired value. I didn't say 75% of the purchase price. I said 75%, borrow up to 75% of the after repaired value. So for example, if you're buying a house with an after repaired value of $200,000, it's very common to buy that house, if it needs renovations, at 50% or less of the after repaired value. So I might buy that $100,000. Well, I can borrow up to $150,000 because that's 75% of the after repaired value. So I get to bring home a $50,000 check because I borrowed $50,000 more than I needed to buy it, less of, you know, closing costs, et cetera. So I'm going to use the majority of that $50,000 excess cash to close, as my attorney's check stub says, for the renovation. So I might use 35 or 40 of that and have 10 left over that I can use any way that I want to in my business. So I'm going to get a check when I buy the property always. By the way, that's a good check and balance. When you're using private money, if you can't bring home a check when you buy the property and take none of your own money to the closing table, you should not do the deal. That's the sort of good check and balance. Are you buying it right? So then when's another payday? Well, if you sell it on terms, say with on rent to own or lease purchase, you can get a large non-refundable lease option deposit. And another payday, of course, is when you cash out and you sell the property and you get a check, the difference between what you sell it for, less realtor fees if you're using a realtor, and what you still owe the private lender, which, by the way, owing the private lender, I always pay interest only or accrue interest only. And that way they have all their money still invested in the deal. And it helps my cash flow if I'm making interest only payments versus principal and interest. So yes, multiple paydays. And you know, the exit strategy really depends on the market and depends on your local market. So my exit strategy today, if I'm paying with all cash, I want to cash out. I don't want to leave private money cash buried in a property for a very long time in this market. The reason for that is because there's still no inventory to speak of in our local market. So I'm getting more than top dollar. I'm getting more than what a house would appraise for because we got a lot of cash buyers around here where I live. And so because of the market and the demand for housing, when I renovate it, I'm putting it in the multiple listing service. In fact, I've got two houses going in the multiple listing service this very week. In fact, one's going there tomorrow. So depending on your market, cash out. So right now, my rule of thumb is if I pay all cash with private money, selling cash out. If I'm buying on terms, say subject to the existing note, seller financing, et cetera, then I can sell on terms, right? I can sell on lease purchase as long as I'm not putting a major renovation money into the deal.
I think that was one of the really important thing you pointed out is walking away with money in your pocket when you're doing that initial purchase. I've run into a few people that's kind of a blind spot, especially there's a cost in just simply running the business, especially with marketing and stuff. So you got to account for some of those numbers.
That's right.
So with that, is there any other bigger mistakes that rookies might make if they're not walking into this with their eyes wide open?
Yeah, the biggest mistake is your mindset. You're not chasing and begging. You're offering and teaching.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more, Jay. It's always been such a great conversation with you. There's a ton of value here, and there's a ton of value if you visit his website. That's going to be clickable in the show notes, jayconner.com/book. But Jay, again, if you're ready, we'll jump into some rapid fire questions as we close this episode out.
All right. I got my seatbelt on. I'm ready to go.
What lie do real estate investors tell themselves and sometimes to others?
What lie do real estate investors? I can't do a deal without skin in the game.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. And I don't think people take into account the actual equity that's available there, like right. You pointed out. That's really good. Exactly. Do you have a book recommendation or what are you reading right now?
Well, I have a lot of book recommendations, but I'm going to share just one. And that's the book that I first started reading to get my mindset right in my life. That goes all the way back to when I was 24 years old. It changed my life. The name of the book is University of Success by Og Mandino. And it's written as like a university. There's like semesters to it. And it has a ton of different authors. And that book, the principles in the book, it's all mindset, are totally relevant today, just as much today as they were all the way back then.
And I have yet to have somebody recommend that book, so I appreciate a new one.
Absolutely.
Add it to my Audible list again. I have so much in my Audible library, I don't think I'll ever get through them all. If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
My younger self, yes. It's so important as to who you surround yourself with. You know, very famous quote, Jack, and I'm sure you've had a ton of guests point this out, by Jim Rohn. He gets the credit for it. You are the average of the five people that you spend most of the time with. And there's a misinterpretation, I think, among a lot of people that quote that. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I'm not talking about your financial wherewithal. I'm not talking about your checkbook. I'm talking about your values, right? And so the advice I would give myself to my younger self, be very intentional about who you are spending time with.
What single strategy, process, or tool have you implemented that has had the biggest time-saving impact on your business?
Oh, wow. I can tell you what that is. And that is, I've got for my mastermind members and et cetera, proprietary software that I started using as my customer relation management software. So here's the thing. Regardless of what software, I mean, I was the most disorganized mess you've ever seen when I started out. I was trying to run this business on a post-it note, post-it notes everywhere, trying to remind me of what to do. So here's the two big tips that will change your business. Number one, your calendar. Here's my quote. Successes are scheduled. Successes are scheduled. They just don't happen. So manage your calendar and your schedule. And in addition to that, all of your seller leads of properties, all your buyer leads, all your leads, they must go into a software system that will keep up with all your notes, all your leads, you know, what happens next, you know, what's been happening ever since that lead came in, that seller lead. For example, we just closed on a property 3 weeks ago, and the lead first contacted us due to a Facebook ad all the way back 9 months ago. And I tell you, if we were not keeping up with all of our leads, I mean, my acquisitionist, my lead manager, myself, we all communicate in that software with each other. Well, even if you don't have a team, you need to communicate with yourself about every motivated seller you've got. Keep up with it in software. Don't try to run this business on a yellow tablet.
And that's where my plug comes in. If you want this type of functionality that Jay just talked about with integration to Facebook and some of the other social platforms, as well as SMS and voice, you want to check out Real Deal CRM. So I really appreciate it, Jay. This has been fantastic again. I hope you'll come back again sometime. I kind of want to spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes with you just talking about mindset and the power associated with it. So, absolutely. Thanks again, Jay.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack. God bless you.
Have you learned at least one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.